All right, well, today being the last Sunday, the last day of the month of May, can you believe that? May the 31st. Today we are looking at the last part of our lesson, lesson number 13. In this series we've been going through since November in the book of John, the Gospel of John. It's been entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. And next Sunday we begin the new series from the book of Acts, and it's going to be entitled, And the Word Spreads. And boy, it's going to be good. Man, I've already got work on the lesson, and it's good. It's going to be good. So I hope that you'll be here for that. But today we want to look at the last part of this lesson, John chapters 20 and 21. Last week we looked at this lesson, and we started on some things, and we looked at the story of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, today, if you're not excited about the resurrection, you need to consider what it would be like if we had a Savior that was dead. We've got a Savior today that is alive and well, amen? Not even a sniffle. Man, I was out working in the yard yesterday. I came back in, and I was covered in dirt and the pollen and the dirt and everything else. Man, I was sneezing and carrying on. I was rubbing my eyes and felt like I had a sandbox in my eyes. I couldn't hardly see through my glasses because they were all covered with dirt. I unloaded yesterday 63 bushels of grass out in the woods. It was so thick. 63 bushels of grass. But it looks so good today. Oh, my goodness, it just looks good. I just want to take a picture and put it up on the magazine somewhere. It just looks so nice. Now, it may not be like that later on, but it looked good yesterday. And Precious was excited. I could at least see her when she walked through the grass. And she didn't get lost in the jungle anymore. So, but we had so much rain. I praise the Lord for the rain. Man, I praise God for the rain. I want a wet well. Amen. I want my well to remain wet. But anyway, I thank God for a living Savior. He's alive and well today. He gives us the assurance of our salvation. He gives us victory over sin. He gives us strength to go on from day to day. And man, I'm thankful for that. We looked at the story of the resurrection last week. We also looked here in the sections regarding his appearance to his disciples, to Mary Magdalene, the first one that got to see him there in the garden, and then to the disciples and to Thomas. And you remember how Thomas, he wasn't there on that Sunday evening when Jesus made his first appearance in the upper room there where the disciples were hiding. And you remember, they were hiding because they were afraid. They were afraid. They had seen what the Jews had done. They had seen the anger that they had toward the Lord Jesus. They had seen the Roman crucifixion and how they beat the Lord Jesus. They scourged him. They spit upon him. They ridiculed him and just made him an open shame to everybody. And then they paraded him down that road naked, crucified him on a cross and hung him there and put up a sign of accusation above his head that simply read, This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's you, that's me, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what we did. And because he lives today, folks, we've got victory in Jesus today. And that makes something mighty sweet about the Lord. Amen. We looked at all these things. We looked at his appearances to the disciples. When Thomas finally did see him, you know, Thomas had said that unless I can see the nail prints in his hand and put my fingers in those nail prints and thrust my hand into his side, I'll not believe. And then when Jesus appeared that second time, what happened? The first thing he did, he said, Peace be unto you. And then he turns and looks at Thomas and he says, Thomas, see, touch me, feel me, and know. Don't be unbelieving, but know. I want you to know. I want you to believe. And the Bible never records where Thomas touched the nail holes. He never thrust his hand in his side. The Bible just simply says he fell down on his feet. And he cried out and he said, My Lord and my God. And Jesus looked at him and he said, Thomas, you believe today because you've seen me. But blessed are they which believe and have not yet seen. And you know what? That's you and that's me. It's by faith that we believe what we believe. This past Monday, I was having some, we'd had some little field mice getting in the house. Couldn't figure out where in the world they're coming from. And when they redid our house, when the tree fell on it, and they redid the kitchen and everything, we put up new sheetrock and all this stuff, you know, took it down to the studs and put new sheetrock and everything up. But I forgot that they had to run a new line behind the stove for the microwave to be plugged into a separate circuit, okay? And when we pulled out the stove, we found the hole in the wall where the mice had been coming in. And so we fixed up all that stuff, had a guy come in, and he helped me fix up some stuff around the house and get it all fixed up. And it's a family-owned business. And I'd never heard of it, and he was telling me about the family-owned business. They were from Utah. And I said, well, do you go to church here anywhere? He said, well, we were Mormons. And he said, but I'm not real up on this stuff, on the Mormons. He said, I've read the Bible some, and I've read the Book of Mormon, and they don't agree, and I'm just not sure what I believe. And I thought, well, let me tell you what I believe. And we stood there on the front porch, and this young man, 22 years old, I went through and tried to answer the questions that he had and showed him from the Word of God what Jesus said. He understood the fact that he was a sinner. He understood the fact that if he died without Christ as his Savior, he deserved to go to hell, but he didn't want to go to hell. And I went through and I showed him what Jesus did for him and did for me, did for the whole world. I said, do you believe by faith? Would you be willing to believe this today? He said, I think I would. And I said, well, would you like to ask Christ to come in your heart and save you? He said, yes, sir, I think I'd like to do that. And right there on our front porch, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as his own personal Savior. 22 years old. And you know what? He's coming back again in 2 more weeks to check things. And I told him, I said, well, I just want to make sure we got everything covered. He said, well, I'll be back in about 3 weeks. I said, that'll be good. And gave him a gospel tract, invited him, encouraged him to come to church and be here. But you know what? The gospel works. Amen? The gospel works. Folks need to know about the Savior, that he is alive. He is well today. And God wants us to be able to share that message. Old Thomas looked on Jesus. He saw him and he believed. But you know what? We've believed and we look forward to the day when we can be able to see him face to face. No more sorrows. No more pains. No more testings and all this other stuff. You know, you don't have to worry about seeing folks dying and leaving us and longing to see them again, and you can't see them right now. But one of these days we're going to get to see them again. And boy, I'm going to look forward to that day. We come to this second point in the lesson today. And I want us to look at the last 2 verses of John chapter number 20. And in John chapter 20, we see the real reason for John writing what he wrote here in the Gospel of John. These last 2 verses, and I thought about this because it was on May the 30th and 31st, we moved up here. And I'm looking here at John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And John wrote this. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, I want you to look at these 2 verses. Just like I can never quite ever finish a lesson on time, it seems like it's always more to give. I try to prepare for you. I want you to get the meat of it. Amen. My wife fixed some chicken last night. Oh, my goodness. And she fixed some chicken. She did it a new way. I don't know what she did with it, but she put it in this pot of grease or something and pulled it out. And it had all kinds of stuff in it, and it was good. It was good, precious, and I enjoyed it. And I happened to walk back in there, and I said, you know, there's more in here. I said, do you want any more? And she said, no. I said, good. And I went in and fixed up the rest of it. I had rice with it and all this other stuff. And, you know, I just couldn't get finished with it. It didn't seem like, man, I was thinking, boy, I wish you'd fix some more of this today for Sunday. You know, this would be good. But you know what? I just wanted to get more of it because it was just so good. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. You get in the Word of God, and you get to looking at all the little tidbits and all those juicy nuggets of blessing, and just the presence of God gets in your heart. And I just want to be able to give it to you in a good way that you got something to take home with you and think about during the week, just how good God is. And if you look at this thing, John said, man, he said, if I wrote and wrote and wrote, I couldn't tell you all the things that Jesus did. But he said this, he said, here's the reason. Here's the purpose that I've written to you, what I've written to you. And the purpose is that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. One of the burdens I face with teaching this class every Sunday is that I don't make it clear for anybody that may be listening to the sound of my voice and is not yet saved. I want to make it clear so that they can see their need of a Savior, and the Spirit of God would deal with their heart and help them to see that they need to be saved. I want to make it so plain, so clear, so understandable that they cannot escape the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I want it to be that clear. And John writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to understand all of these things, everything that I've written in this book, in this account, has been written for one reason, one purpose in mind, and that is that ye might believe that this Jesus, this Son of God, that was born of a virgin, that lived a perfect and sinless life, that did all the miracles that he did, that went to the cross and suffered and bled and died, I want you to understand it was all for you. It was all for me. That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. And whoever would read John's account of the life of Jesus Christ and believe on him as their own personal Savior, they would too have life through his name. Now, what kind of life? Eternal life. But folks, let me tell you something. He gives you a joyful life as well. We live in a world today that is not perfect in by any means. We face trials. We face heartaches. We face persecutions. We face discouragement. But the life that we have in Christ sees us through it all. Amen? It sees us through it all. And Sophia left on Tuesday, going back to China. And I told you she trusted Christ as her Savior on the 7th of May. I gave her a little Soul Winner's New Testament. And I marked all the verses in there for her. And we made a journal for her and put her name on it and put a Bible verse on the front of it. Let her know we were going to be praying for her. And put a Bible verse that she wanted on the inside of it and gave it to her. And we gave her one of the little pins I got down here at Battery Warehouse. You click it, and it comes on, and it says, I'm the light of the world. All right? It lights up. That's before the fire burned them all up. I may have gotten one of the last ones before the fire took them down. And I gave that to her, and buddy, you'd have thought I'd given her a $1 million bill. And she was all excited about it. And we keep praying that God is going to use her to be a witness for him when she goes back to China. She's coming back this August for school again. She'll be with us again. She'll be in our Christian school. But you know what? The joy in her heart since she's trusted Christ as her Savior has been seen. And she shared it with others. She told her mom about it. She told her best friend, Ella, here at school about it. She finally told Pastor Josh about it. She even told Pastor Belcher about it, that she got saved. She asked Jesus to come to her heart. And you know what? Christ gives joy on this earth. It's not going to be like what the joy is we're going to have in heaven, but he gives us joy to face everything that we face here on this earth. And John wrote here, he said, I want you to understand the reason I've given you all of these things is that you might believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God. That's why there's something mighty sweet about the Lord. And it really doesn't matter what the people say, what the world has to say. I know in my heart there's something mighty sweet. Something mighty sweet today. Now, I want us to look at this last part of it. We come to the epilogue, the last part of John's gospel. In John chapter number 21. And here again, Jesus proves his bodily resurrection from the dead. He shows it as a fact. He shows it to bring restoration to the hearts of those disciples that never thought that things would be the same before he died. They knew after seeing his body, they knew after wrapping him with 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh and stuff like that, and all the linens, and placing his body in that tomb. And the guards had sealed it. The Roman guards sealed it and would not let anyone in or out. They thought they had taken care of this Jesus. And they were very discouraged. Their hearts were broken. But the resurrection brought joy and restoration. And there was now no one that could say Jesus was not alive. They may not like it. They may not want to tell anybody. The Roman guards, again, remember, were paid by the priests to lie. And the Bible says that the people knew that they had been paid to lie. But they still went along with the lie. But here, we look at some things here that I want you to see how that Jesus proves himself again to his disciples. You see, he needed these disciples to know and to believe what he had come to do so that they might take that message to you and me. And you know what? That's why you and I need to know and understand what we believe today. Because if we don't, then the world will not know. Oh, we can have the fellowships, and I'm looking forward to the fellowships we have. We have the ice cream fellowship coming up. I really look forward to that. I look forward to the film, you know, next Saturday. I look forward to our time on Monday night. I look forward to all these things. But you know what? The fellowship without purpose, it's not much, is it? And everywhere we go now, everything that we do revolves around one basic thing, that Jesus is alive and that he has given us a job to do. This week when I had the procedures I had done Tuesday and Wednesday, and I gave the nurses, there was a young girl there that was expecting a baby in July, and we gave gospel tracts to different ones and things like that. I thought, well, you're going to look inside of me and do this stuff, I'm going to give you something. God's going to look inside of you, amen? All right, bring some conviction there. And you know what? They thank me for it. I praise God for that. Sometimes folks don't want to take anything. They don't want to take a gospel tract. I left them at the hospital, gave them to the nurses there at the hospital, seeing Mrs. Zaki and going up and seeing the other folks. But you know what? Listen, our job is to present Jesus alive today, folks. That's what our job is. And that's what Christ wanted to prove to his disciples, that not only was he alive, that he had power that he wanted to give unto them so that they might be witnesses of him in all that they did. Now, I want us to look at it today. And we see it through a great catch of fish. Now, I love flounder. I love trout. I love carp. I love catfish, you know. All that good stuff. I love French fries with them all, okay? Love all that stuff. And you know what? Jesus did some simple things. And I want you to see this in John chapter 21. Look at verses 1 through 3. After all these things had happened in the upper room, and all the things that happened with them seeing Jesus alive and well, the Bible said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. In other words, I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm going back. And you know what? Whenever we go back on the Lord, that's called backsliding. Okay? God doesn't want us to backslide. He wants us to push forward. But Thomas said, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm just going back to what I used to do. And folks, let me say this, and I say this with sincerity and love in my heart. But if you choose to backslide on God, you never backslide alone. You always take somebody with you. Family that watches you. Family that's heard you say, well, I love the Lord. I love that church. Man, I love my pastor. And then all of a sudden, you don't. Or something changes in your life and you got to go through some issues and you get discouraged and you just say, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to stop doing what I used to do for God. You never do it alone. And this is proof of it. Simon said, I go a fishing. Look what the Bible said. They, all these other men, say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, these professional fishermen, these guys that had done this for a living for so long, they caught nothing. They had no joy. You know what? There is no joy in backsliding on God. Oh, we may say, oh, look at all the fun I'm having. Man, I'm going to see the movies on Sunday. I get a discount for seniors and all that stuff. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm not being tied down going to church. Yeah. But you're miserable as can be. And these guys were miserable. And during those 40 days after Jesus arose from the dead, he tried to show them. He tried to help them to understand, I've got a job for you to do. I've got a job for you to do. Take it seriously. And they weren't taking it very seriously. Oftentimes we may contemplate quitting. We may contemplate just stopping. Somebody asked me the other day, are you going to retire? I said, man, no, I want to refire. That's what I want to do. I want to keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell as many folks about Christ as I can. But you know what? Simon Peter, his heart was still filled with doubt. He still had fear in his heart. I don't think that Simon Peter had ever forgotten the fact that he had done something that he said he would never do. He told Jesus, though everybody else fails you, everybody else leaves you, I'll not fail you, I'll not leave you. And Jesus just looked at him and said, Simon, tonight, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And up to this point, I don't think Peter ever got over that. It was always in the forefront of his mind, his failures. And folks, let me say this. The devil is going to try to do all he can do to remind each of us of our failures in this life as a born-again child of God. How we don't deserve salvation, and none of us do. How we failed him in so many ways. But you know what? Every time the devil reminds me of my past, I remind that rascal of his future. And buddy, he's going to burn forever and forever, be tormented day and night in the lake of fire. The Bible says forever and forever and forever. And that's all he's got to look forward to. Your past, my past, has been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God can forget it, guess what? You and I can forget it, amen? Because it's not to be remembered. It's not to be brought up anymore. But Peter said, no, I'm going back to fishing. So here in verse number 3, he makes a decision. It's not a wise one, but he makes a decision to go back to the old way of life before he met the Lord Jesus. And I want you to note here, again, that you don't take this lightly. Because when you backslide, you don't backslide alone. Children are watching you. Grandchildren are watching you. Man, that's why I don't want to quit serving God. I've told my kids that God will answer their prayers. And the devil comes up and says, ah, God didn't answer your prayer this way or that way or whatever. But he did answer my prayer. And folks, let me tell you this. Sometimes God says, yeah, I think that's okay. I'll give it to you. Other times God says, nah, I don't think that's right for you. And there are other times God says, not right now. Just wait. Just wait. Wait till the right time. And we got to decide what we're going to do with all those answers from God. God was trying to get Peter's attention. So, I want you to see that it was during this time of fear and doubt, in verse number 4. When the morning was now come, John chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, Jesus stood on the shore. Now, after these guys have made their decision, they've gone fishing, you know what Jesus is doing? He's watching them. He's watching them. You know what? I know this sounds crazy, but Jesus is watching us today too. He's ever interceding for us. He's the one that gives comfort and strength and guidance to us. He knows what's going on. And while these guys are out there backsliding on God, the Bible said Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And I imagine, who is this guy out there asking if we got meat out here? Good grief, it's been a long night. No, I don't have anything. And you know what? They were not happy. They were not happy. But after hearing their sad response, the Bible said in verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Cast your net on the right side of the ship. I guess that means they were fishing on the wrong side, right? Jesus said, cast it on the right side, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And in verse number 7, the Bible said, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Naked. He was out there fishing, naked as a jaybird. Can you imagine that? But that's what they do. That's what they do. These folks go down here. We've been here 15 years. I've still never made it down to Ocean City. And somebody told me the other day, he said, don't worry about it, preacher. You hadn't missed a thing. You hadn't missed a thing. But they'll go out there and they'll dress in less than their underwear and wonder why they get in trouble, okay? And here Peter is out there fishing, naked as a jaybird, and he finds out the Lord's out there watching him. The Lord sees him. What's the first thing he does? He does like what Adam did, what Eve did. They tried to sew fig leaves together and cover up their nakedness, all right? They were ashamed of their sin. And he grabs his coat and puts it around him, and he cast himself into the sea. Now, John immediately recognizes Jesus. And when John said that, Peter recognized it too. And he said, man, I need to get things right. And so he jumps into the water. And now all the other disciples who are still on shore, they see the blessings that Jesus has brought unto them. And they take another little boat out And they come back with a little boat and they draw in 153 fish. Now somebody says, oh, numbers of souls being saved each week. It's not important. Jesus thought it was important to put this number of fish in here that they caught. You know why? Because you see that it's only God that can bring the blessings. And in verses 8 through 14, we see all that. But now we see Jesus' conversation with Peter in verses 15 through 25. And here in verses 15 through 19, we see Peter's restoration. Now look at this. Jesus talks to Peter about the ministry he's got for him to do. But the fact is, Peter's got to get over failing the Lord in order to move forward and be restored unto service. And folks, it's the same way with you and me today. We cannot continue to just dwell in the land of, oh no, okay, look at me. Man, I failed the Lord. There's no hope for me. I can't do anything now for God. Yes, you can. There's forgiveness with God. There's restoration with God. God's got a purpose, a plan for your life, for my life. And he looks at Peter and says, Peter, get over it, son. It's in the past. It's been forgiven. It's been forgotten. And Jesus did not ask Peter here if he understood his task. But rather, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? To which Peter answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And then Jesus told Peter, he said, then feed my lambs. I've got a job for you, Peter. Feed my lambs. Tell them about what I've done for you. And three times Jesus asks this same question. And three times Peter responds affirmatively, Lord, you know I love you. How many times did he deny him? Three. So he asked him three times, Peter, do you really love me? I like to ask Lisa, do you love me? Well, yeah. Do you really love me? Yeah. Am I the best husband you ever had? Well, yeah, you're the only husband I ever had, yeah. I'll come to her sometimes in the morning. I said, did you see the news this morning? The news? What was that? I said, Daddy loves Mommy. And she looks at me and says, do you love me? I want to know she loves me, okay? All Jesus wanted to know from Peter, do you love me? And you know what? In order for us to serve him today, we need to serve him from a heart of love. We serve him because we love him. Verses 17 and 18, Jesus predicts the manner that Peter is going to die. And he just simply tells Peter, follow me. He tells him to follow me. In verses 20 and 25, we find Peter's responsibility, which was given to him by Jesus. And I want you to look at this morning. It would seem like that while Peter knew what God wanted him to do, Peter was more concerned for what John was going to do. And he's asking him here, well, Lord, what do you want this man to do? And you know what? That's what we do sometimes, isn't it? We look around and say, well, what's he going to do? Lord, if you're wanting me to be a witness for you and you want me to pass out God, well, what are they going to do? And Jesus just looks at him and says, what, if I should tell him to wait around until I come back again, what's that to you? You just need to do what I said do. And that's what Jesus is telling him. Look at verse 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to me? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know what Jesus is telling Peter? Peter, you've got a personal responsibility. You've got a personal responsibility. And folks, if we look at these passages of Scripture today, it reminds us that each of us have a personal responsibility unto the Lord. To follow Him, to love Him with all of our heart, to serve Him with all of our heart. Whether anybody else does around us or not, our job is to love Him enough to serve Him. verses 23 and 24. Again, John identifies himself as the writer of the book of John. And he said this. He said, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. How does he close this chapter out? By reminding us that each of us have a responsibility. And you know what? I look at these 11 disciples and the others that followed after that. Had they not been faithful, you and I would not be saved today. We wouldn't have the gospel. Now let me ask you this. Who today might have an opportunity to go to heaven because you were faithful to just go and give a gospel tract? Invite them to come to Sunday school, to be your guest for Sunday school on Sunday morning. Who today might be in heaven because you were willing to go and tell them? Why did you go and tell them? Because you love him for what he did for you. And you know what? No matter what anybody else around you does, you've chosen to serve him and live for him today. Our job, so to speak, as born-again Christians, is to take the gospel to all the world. And if you'll remember, we looked at Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at it next week. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said, "I want you to be witnesses unto me right here in Jerusalem, right where you're at. And then Judea, Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth." It'll never go to the othermost parts of the earth unless it starts where we are right now. So let's just make up our mind. We're going to serve God. Peter, do you love me? Let me ask you this. Conquerors class, is Jesus asking you, do you love me today? You say, "Lord, you know I love you." And what's he saying to you today? The same thing he told Peter. "Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tell folks what I've done for them so that they can be with me one day." Oh, this is what the Bible is all about. This is what this lesson has been all about. In the beginning was the Word. And if you'll come back next week, we're going to find out how the Word spreads. And I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Let's pray just a minute. Father, Lord, I love you. And I thank you, God, for this Gospel of John that we've been able to read and go through each week for these many weeks now. Lord, I know that there have been times that each of us have failed you some way or another. But dear God, thank you, Lord, for looking beyond my faults and for seeing my need, for giving me an opportunity, Lord, to love you and to serve you anyway. And Lord, I pray that today, Lord, you'll help us to determine in our heart that because we love you, we will be a faithful witness for you. We'll be faithful to be in the house of God. We'll be faithful to tell our family and loved ones, our co-workers, our neighbors, anyone that we come in contact with about the love of God that brings salvation to all. Lord, please help us, God, to be the servants of God that you'd have us to be. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. And Lord, we'll praise you for what you do today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Love you today. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday.